That's crazy.
Yeah,
it is. I know.
Well, you know, all these Atlanta fans, the fair weather is coming out. They're, you know, they're just stuck on this period of draws and they can't win. And all, like, everywhere I look on social media, all my Atlanta friends are just giving up on the team. It is so predictable. So, wow.
Yeah.
Wait, amazing.
Wait. I hit the live button, Alex, just so you know. So now they all know you don't. Yeah, you're welcome.
You got friends?
Outside of these two guys?
Not anymore.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Soccer chat with two T's, because we're going to chat about soccer, but we're also in Chattanooga. So it's like a play on words. And, you know, Chattanooga is a soccer city.
Welcome to season 3, episode 15.
Nope. 16. You're living in the past.
Episode 16.
16. Yeah.
3, 2, 1. Welcome. Welcome
to I don't get to cut these anymore.
Episode 16, 16 of Soccer Chat. we're definitely at the period of the season where I forget what episode number we are. But it's the halfway point for the Red Wolves. We're very excited to hand out some awards. Before we do that, we are joined by Soccer Chat's most capped guest, and that is Red Wolves GM Sean McDaniel.
Awesome.
So,
yeah,
Sean.
Wow, I had no idea. That's awesome.
We should actually give him a cap for that.
We were looking at Twitter. And from what we've seen from the Chattanooga Red Wolves Twitter, you have some news to break. Is that correct?
I don't know. I'm not sure which news we're talking about.
We had the picture with you and Coach Obleda and a very special
that got leaked out. It got leaked out. I'm not sure how that made it out to the public. I apologized for not being more forthright to it, but clearly the word's out.
Well, this is not the first time that we've placed Messi on a Red Wolves reveal. I believe he was actually accidentally included in like our first like reveal, like the kit was coming back way back 3 years ago, and everyone kind of laughed about it. But now it's real, so that's great.
Yeah.
Yes, it's awesome. All very true. It's good to look back and laugh at that 3 years ago, yeah. But it's now come full circle and.
Who's laughing now? Yeah,
I've been hearing from sources that actually the deal won't get done until you guys agree to the rusty third kit. Messi will not play for the Red Wolves
without the rusty third kit.
You release the rusty third kit.
Now I don't. Yeah, now I'm struggling because I don't know if I want. If I don't know which one I would want more, not to have the rusty third kit or to have Messi. Just being honest.
Yeah, a lot of details still to be ironed out. Most notably, the detail of actually contacting Messi in the first place.
Like,
we're almost there.
Okay, so that one of these days, legit. He's that going to return John's legit. Call.
There you go.
So we know you're a big Soccer Chat fan. You never miss an episode. And Saturday's Off the Post, we were quite salty. And we're not going to belabor the point because we know we don't want to put you in a position to get in trouble. But
justice for
Donna. I'm curious what kind of avenues as a club you guys have to give feedback on something where, you know, you had a controversial call in the game or maybe some kind of situation that you felt got out of hand. What avenues do you have to talk to them and what kind of stuff do you hear back from the league when you reach out?
Well, the opportunity to provide feedback is not ever the difficult part. We have platforms to not just file an official request for a response, but we have multiple avenues where we can really discuss something that we are questioning. The challenge with the officials, and I don't mind saying it at all, is in League One this season, it's not been up to the standard that the play's been up to. That's not a secret from anyone. It's not a secret from the Red Wolves or any team in League One. And I understand that we're trying to operate frugally in every area, but you know, the officials don't work for the USL. They work for PRO, the Professional Referees Organization. And the challenge is it falls on deaf ears sometimes. Again, the fact that we have an outlet does exist, but to affect change is going to take some, you know, some work on all the teams, you know, displaying our concerns and frustration.
Well, so do you, is there any way, like, you know, in like in some sports you can actually appeal a decision? Does that exist in any way, shape, or form? Just so our fans know.
Yeah, it sure does. And there is an appeals process, and it goes up the ladder, so to speak, if their video or eyewitness accounts deem it worthy to do so. The challenge we have is really the benchmark for overturning something is an egregious violation of the rules. So if an official makes what's considered an egregious violation, the chance to reconcile or rectify that becomes much greater. And that could be something that happened during the flow of play that the official didn't see. You know, all the games are rewatched, and if the official misses something, say a player struck another player and it's clear through video evidence that that occurred, they can go back and suspend the player. That has happened before. In the instance with Ricketts, you know, that was certainly up to the discretion of the referee to make that call. It was a bad call. It was an incorrect call, but it wasn't an egregious violation of the rules. And therefore, there's, you know, while it's not fun for me, Jimmy, the fans, or anyone in Red Wolves Nation, there's just not going to be anything we can do about it, given how the process works.
Okay, so what about when you have a referee who on a more consistent basis is having questionable calls? So it's not just the major egregious one, but it's the accumulation of you're seeing a pattern. Is that something that could be brought up to the league?
Yeah, and it has been. And it's another good point, Jeff, that these officials do have an accountability system in place through PRO, where if there's a consistent, I guess, inability to stay up with the play, to call the match as it should be, they're not allowed to referee again, or perhaps not even be in the middle, maybe not an AR. And again, Oblata fills out a report, as does every head coach after every single match, expressing his dissatisfaction or dissatisfaction with the officiating. So, you know, I think that is a credit to the USL. They don't control the referees. You know, they have to outsource it, so to speak. And what PRO does with it from there is what happens.
So, Sean, let's turn a little bit towards the team itself. And we're at the halfway point. Yeah. And today we saw a number of teams that made a couple of announcements of signings. Richmond actually signed an academy player, and Tucson hinted that they were doing a regular. They were going to be announcing one. I didn't see if they've officially announced it, and they said it wasn't a messy announcement. From your standpoint, is that something that you guys are looking at on adding to the team at all, or are you just more looking at just us continuing to get healthier and more stable on who we have in there?
So I think there's a couple ways, Adam, that we look at how to bolster or strengthen a roster when necessary. Right now, the good news for the Red Wolves is, A, we're quite healthy. Physically speaking, we've been very fortunate that our injuries are either, A, coming to an end, or B, are not significant enough going into the second half of the season at this point to warrant too much panic on our part. The second part is we're in second place, and we're in second place with the ability to continue controlling our own destiny, as they say. Now, we always are looking for the potential and opportunity for players if they fit the system and meet a need. We continue to work our MLS network for potential loans. Had a call today with another team, not for a loan, but for an actual player, evaluate the signs. So we'd be foolish not to have some sense of business continuity in our back pocket. However, it is nice to be sitting near the top of the table, very healthy, with a bye week going into the second half of the season. So we feel very good where we are, and we'll continue to evaluate talent as needed. But right now, you know, while Leffy's scheduled to return, he was cleared today. We have Luna, who's on the road to recovery. If he's not back Tuesday, he's back the following week. So we are anticipating good things with the health of our players that missed the first half of the season going into the second half.
That's the sound of Alex knocking on wood as we talk about the team health. Yes. So
yeah.
With the league rules, is there any kind of deadline or anything like that that you guys are facing as far as player signings?
There is. The transfer window's closed. So when you look at international players and the international leagues, that opportunity is now closed, which is fine. We worked hard, especially Obleda, worked hard to really find our internationals at the beginning of the season to get them in the system. As far as a roster freeze, the date, it's on or close to the first week of September. So we've got about a month before we have to freeze our roster, everybody. I expect that we may sign at least one more player in that time. But once it's frozen for everyone, and we go to war the last part of the season with what we got.
Gotcha.
How much are you doing now to prepare for this coming off season? How, you know, do you basically, when you're not on the phone with other teams, are you watching games, trying to get an idea of what kind of players you're identifying for next year?
Yeah, that actually never ends. You know, what's set up well for us this season, Alex, is we revamped the entire roster. So almost 80 to 85% of our roster are guys that we hold the option on. Meaning if we decide they fit, we want to keep them, we can exercise that option, and the roster remains, you know, pretty intact going into 2022. Now, we do have a handful of players who are at the end of their contract, so we will sit down as the season comes to an end and look to re-sign them and try to keep them for a couple more years. But, you know, this offseason, not really going to be an offseason. When you look at the turnaround time between when the season ends and when our preseason would begin, it's about 10 weeks. So I like the position we're in because we have so many players that we hold the option on, whereas there are other teams in the league that a big portion of their roster renegotiates contracts either with their current team or elsewhere. We're always looking. We're always, always looking.
So do you guys have a special scout that finds the Dietrichs, or do you have everyone on the lookout for those?
You know, this is where the advantage of Jimmy Obleda comes into play. He is so networked into the West Coast soccer scene that we have kind of a network of scouts, if you will, already out there. And as a result, we have a combine each year out in Southern California. It's an invitation only, where we can bring in those players, you know, mostly inexperienced or new pros that, like Jackson, who's been wonderful for us this season, like some of the other first year pros. And we use our network of coaches out there to kind of help them. And then, like everyone else, we have agents, we have scouting software. We do just like all the others and pick apart film, work with agents, and you know, fill in the holes where we think they're needed.
Last one, and I'll let Jeff jump in. But Jackson, the next goal he scores will make him the highest scoring Dietrich in Red Wolves history. Do you guys have a ceremony planned for when that happens?
I think Sean's missing your joke about the fact that he's the third Dietrich on the team.
Every year there must be a Dietrich.
Yeah, and to that end, right, it's Coach Obleda is superstitious. That's not a secret either. So, you know, the Dietrich family tree even if he has a younger sister, we might sign her just to keep the streak going.
That's good stuff.
Very good. Well, a lot of things in the news been on the sports world, especially in the South. They're talking about conference realignment. And, of course, that's in reference to college football. But there may be some conference realignment with USL League One. I know going into next year, we do know we've got two new clubs coming in, Central Valley Fuego and Fresno, and then Northern Colorado Hailstorm is coming in the next year. Possibly, it sounds like, will be some of the MLS clubs or the affiliated clubs may be departing, but it seems to be moving. Last year, we had North Carolina come in from championship. So is there, I know you had these secret talks, you can't say specifics, but is there a possibility of either some teams coming down to join us from championship or someone getting promoted from League Two?
So absolutely. There's the two you just mentioned, Jeff, correct. The Fresno Fuego and then the Northern Colorado teams both enter League One next year. There is a championship side that is coming into League One next year for sure. I anticipate that there will likely be more doing that. MLS, again, as it's been widely reported, they are no longer part of the USL family. Two MLS teams did get a waiver to stay next season. I believe it may have been Real Salt Lake and possibly Atlanta too, but the two of them. But everyone else is out. And that includes the MLS teams that are in League One. But I believe League One is poised in position to grow and grow quickly, given its current trajectory. And I like where we're at.
Now, when we first announced the league, there was talk of Rochester Rhinos coming in, and they've been hiatus. I hear they've been bought, I think, by Jamie Vardy. Is there any word on them actually coming back, or is that still on permanent hold?
I think the silence about what they're doing is probably louder than any type of announcement from them. So while there's not been anything official about whether they're coming to the USL, the fact that there's not been a lot of chatter or talk about what they're doing makes me think that they would not be coming to the USL. I don't have the official statement on that from the league, but given how many of the other teams launch, they've been notably quiet on that front. And, you know, look, whether they go to the MLS league or NISA or otherwise certainly is the prerogative to do so. But we have, I would say, the pipeline is very, very robust for League One.
Okay.
So I've got a question related to, since last time we talked, we have announced that our ladies team will be joining the USLW. And then today, Asheville was noted as a new team for USLW. How much involvement will you, in your role, have with the women's team, or will it still mostly be with Gretchen? I know that she's staying on as their general manager.
Yeah, I think just in the spirit of seamless transition, it will look very similar to how it looked the last 2 years with them. Gretchen is a great, great resource and soccer leader in this community, and really we're just changing leagues. That's all that's happening. And to keep the system, there's no desire on anyone's part to change that. Her role with the club remains just what it is, and that's to operate the women's team and to do it well. I did have a call today with the leadership from the USL and the W League, and they've got so many more teams to announce. What's nice about the W League is, again, when we talk about geography, their footprint in the Southeast is strong, very, very strong. So for the women's fans, the women's team, all the above, you're going to see a lot of women's soccer in very close proximity to Chattanooga.
Awesome. Birmingham.
Yeah, that could or could not be one of the cities.
All right, you guys got any other questions?
Well, I was just going to come back to remember interviewing you, Sean. It was my first Soccer in the South video I had done. It was it was a preseason friendly at Davis Stanton Field. And since that time, so much has happened, especially not just the team and the success of the team, but the whole supporter atmosphere. And so, you know, we've come together, I think, remarkably in the last few years. So I just want to ask you, where do you want to see the supporters take this passion to the next level? What do we need to do to amp it up?
Well, I love that question, because the soccer vibe is really built around the passionate supporters. And there's a couple quick notes that I like about what I'm seeing at CHI Memorial Stadium. One, I love seeing new faces. These are new faces, new fans, particularly for someone like me who's been in the Chattanooga soccer world for a long, long time, to really now begin to identify new people in the stands here to support their team is probably the thing that makes me happiest. As far as the supporters are concerned, what I'm eagerly anticipating is that as the stadium continues to come to life, as the team continues to play exciting soccer, I love looking out to that tailgate. And that, I mean, it looks like there's 100 people out there at the tailgate. It's incredible. So I hope we continue building off that. One of the great things about supporters groups is all are welcome, right? The door's unlocked. And yeah, the messaging to more people that says, come on, right? Just come put your tent up, come cook out with us. And I want to see us start marching into the stadium. I want to see our supporters, you know, at a specific time, be a part of the game day atmosphere. Like we our fans come to see our supporters with the flags waving, the drums beating, and the supporters singing, marching right into CHI Memorial Stadium as the smoke is going off and the players are taking the field. To me, that's a supporter nirvana. And you know, Jeff, it's funny, like you say, when we look back to where we started to where we are today, we're almost there.
Very so cool. My final question to you, the next home game on August 17th against North Texas, it's going to be a $2 beer night, and it's also going to be Taco Tuesday. So, Sean, when you go into to a Taco Tuesday, what's your number? How many tacos?
Well, individually, my record's like 12. So I'm not sure. Nice. I can beat that one. But if we can sell.
I'm an amateur.
Yeah, listen, guys, there's very few things I can do well, but that happens to be one of them. But, you know, it's interesting when we talk about the game day environment. You know, I've referred to it as live dinner theater. We want people to come, eat, drink, sing. It's like a rock concert. Stand and watch an incredible sporting event and then go home tired and go, man, I can't wait to come back. And if we can give them full tummies with a nice cold beer and yummy tacos, then we're doing our part.
Well done. All right. Well, Sean, I want to thank you again for coming on. Always insightful and always an enjoyable guest. And we hope to talk to you soon, and hope to next time we talk, if it's at the end of the season, we're talking about our championship.
Yeah. Oh, me too, pal.
Thanks, Sean.
All right. Thanks, Sean.
See you guys.
Just so you know, Alex, as far as for the amount of tacos, as you guys know, I'm also involved in a medieval reenactment group in the South. And a couple years ago, King Timothy, who was the king of the Southern Kingdom, had proclaimed a royal proclamation that tacos need to come in threes. So three is the royal number of tacos. So I think we could use that as an official number.
That's interesting, because I normally am a five guy when it's time for Taco Tuesday, mostly to avoid the judgmental looks from my wife. Five is about the max I can get without the dirty look of, really, that many tacos?
Well, no, what you could do is you could get a set of three and then get another set of three.
Now 12 was divisible
yes,
by 3.
Yes, so it was divisible by 3. So so I'm just saying that 5, you know, might get you banished forthwith from the kingdom.
All right.
You,
well,
you can risk it if you want.
Excellent interview with Sean McDaniel. Always fun. And so as we talked about the first half of the season, it's time for us to give out some first half of the season awards. The first category we have is the best goal that was inexplicably called a foul by stupid League One referees.
You know, you should have created a banner for this to on the, for each of these questions.
Do we have a winner on that one?
We have awards tonight. Okay, that's close enough. Do we have a winner?
Hashtag justice for Jono. Have either of you gotten over it? I still
no. I'm still upset.
Getting irrationally angry.
No, it's frustrating, and I think the thing that upsets me the most is I don't have a sense it's going to get better. At least not in the short term. And I think that's what upsets me is I have no reason to expect that it's not going to happen again.
Well, Sean outlined it perfectly. We're not the only ones who think they're terrible. Everyone thinks they're terrible. Like, he basically said that. He was like, he's like, oh, I could talk about this. The entire league agrees.
Yeah. But I don't think it's going to get fixed this year, unfortunately.
No.
Hopefully. You know, it's one of those things, Alex, where if it gets so bad, eventually it has to be rebuilt if it's torn down so much. But I just don't know what damage it'll have to the league and to the fans.
Well, folks, tell you, light up social media, boo to your heart's content, even say that the call is BS or spell out what BS means. Don't ask your mom and dad about that, kids. All of those things are great, but I am proud that even though we had a goal taken off the board, denying us a win, that supporter section, for all of its carping, nobody threw anything, nobody attacked the referee, nobody, you know, started trying to get into it, and that's the way to react. Boo to your heart's content, light up social media with complaining. Let's not ever be the crowd that starts throwing stuff on the field because we're upset with a call.
No. Fully agree. All right, so let's move on to the next award.
Okay, next award we are talking about. What's guys? What's your favorite goal?
Okay, real easy. It came back to mind because it was one that was up for the goal of the month. We have two for one Galindres for two goals of the month, but yet surprisingly, he's not as an option for player of the month. Interesting.
Hold on, stop. I have a theory on that. They're trying to split his vote.
Yes. I had wondered about the same
Tucson
thing.
Goal,
yes.
Everybody.
So that, I had wondered the same thing. Yeah, it was the Tucson goal, and it just has to be. And I think it's because, and I like the other goal, but it was just the way it defied gravity. It's like he like took one of those potions from Harry Potter that day, and it was just going to go in no matter how he hit it. Because I don't know how that went in. So it's the Tucson goal by Juan Galindres for me. I don't know about the rest of you guys.
For me, it's the real Jono goal because I've been waiting for it for so long. And to see it finally happen, all the times he came so close, even though it wasn't the most spectacular, him getting his first goal as a professional earlier this year, that's the one for me.
My goal of the year is Juan Galindres. It is at Tucson. It's at his Tucson. Game winner.
Yeah.
Awesome team buildup. That led to him, hitting a goal with some power and giving us the lead in a game that we thought we were going to dominate, and then had to come back and scrap. So that is my goal so far this year.
You could almost feel Tucson deflating when that happened. It's like they were just souls were crushed at that goal.
All right, next award. Best new player, guys. Who's the favorite of the new signees?
Well,
that we've had so far.
I went first last time. I'll wait.
Daniel Navarro for me. I know that he's not an offensive, he's not going to create a lot of amazing things, but when he had a little bit of a nagging injury that was bothering him for a couple games. If you take those games away, he has been a settling force back on the back line. When he has it at his feet, I am comfortable. I am not worried about him making a dumb pass or an ill-advised pass. that for me is huge. And he's my favorite signing.
Hmm. So you got others in here who are agreeing with you there. Alex, who do you got?
I was going to go with Daniel Navarro as well. Another new player that's impressed me, though, has been Jose Carrera Garcia yet again. Another kind of settling force. He's scored in the last two games now, so he's starting to feel that part of his game. He's the captain, and I think he really has kind of stepped into that captain's role that was Steven Beattie's, that has that settling presence in the midfield, directing all the traffic, setting all the guys up, and now he's scoring goals himself. Look out, League One in the second half. Here comes El Capi.
Yeah, Jose Carrera Garcia is the one I had chosen, so maybe I should have spoken before,
yeah,
Alex,
see?
And taken this under. I did. I almost picked Tanky Galindres. He has brought a lot of excitement, and I think he's going to be drawing in casual fans, but I don't think he matches the consistency that Jose Carrera Garcia has. He has been the glue. And for the fact coming in as a new player to take that captain role, he's done fantastic. He's, you know, it's I never worry when he's on the pitch. So he's solid.
And by the way, he's always on the pitch. I don't think he has been subbed off once. He's played every minute.
I think he has.
Okay. Next one, best soccer chat interview. This is one after the program. We'd love for you guys to sound off in the comments on Twitter at Soccer Chat. Go ahead and add us. Let us know who's been your favorite interview. Guys, who's your favorite interview?
Mine is actually from one of our off the posts. The interview that we did right after the game with multiple players on site, where it wasn't really a scheduled interview. They came over and joined us. We didn't pre-set them up. And just the access that they gave us there, the honest and just great willingness to talk and answer questions and do it for a while, to the point where they were worried about getting back in time, I think. but ultimately, that was my favorite.
Yeah, I'd like to get back in doing that again. Actually, my favorite isn't on the men's team. My favorite was Katie Phillips. And we had a couple of reports. That's for her, for the Lady Red Wolves. But for the men's players, I got to say it's Jason Ramos. He had that salty interview. And outside of his extra wordage, but the thing was what I really liked about that, he was so pumped up. He was just, you know, we had a really solid win. He was really into how the fans responded, and there's just that passion there. So, and Ramos does not hold back.
All right, yeah, I'm gonna hat tip Michael Creel. I really enjoyed the interview that we had with Blake Frischknecht, the perspective that he gave on Oblata Ball and all of that. Plus, I got to ask him dad jokes. And if you may have noticed this week on social media, they made the announcement of, is it Kent? Is that correct? Kurt
Frischknecht
has joined the world. So Frischy is now officially a dad and has full control of the thermostat in the home. And congrats to you, Frischy.
So someone else had also mentioned from our audience there with the Bakers. They're talking about when we had Kay and Brian Baker on as an interview. That was a fun interview. Another salty one. This time it was actually Brian and not Kay.
It's Kay Baker. Brian has a different last name.
I didn't know that.
Brian
okay.
McLean. Yes.
McLean. Okay. Yep.
They will give us a hard time if we don't correct ourselves there.
I never knew that, so.
Yeah.
All right.
That sounds like a 70s pop duo, McLean and Baker.
Oh, now we have a request that has to be done.
A request for McLean and Baker.
Find some kind of folk-type music for
yes,
the two of them.
That would be awesome. That would
and
be awesome.
I think we can do it at the tailgate. We can ask them to sing for us, and so that brings us to the next award question.
Ooh.
Best tailgate
game watching food. I'm gonna go first. Now listen, I enjoy trolling everyone else's plates at the tailgate and stealing bratwursts. Except for the time I burned my mouth with the bratwurst that Adam gave me. I can't believe, but anyway, My favorite at the watch party at the.
You got muted.
You got, what was that?
Am I back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. At the Bruce Mansion, we watched the, it was the Omaha game and had a little bit of a campfire going before kickoff and got to do s'mores. So s'mores. I enjoyed that the most.
I thought you were going to say the wings for that one. So,
oh, the wings were good.
Wings were good.
Those were good.
That was probably my favorite watch party. Was over at the Bruce's. That was a fun time.
So Clayton mentioned the cookies. There are really good sugar cookies that are brought to the game on a regular basis. She makes them herself.
Sheila,
my mind
Reed, shout out.
Just blank on her. Thank you, Sheila.
Has awesome decoration on them as well.
Yeah, that is a good call there, Clayton.
Good deal. See, originally I was thinking of the food trucks. That's what I was when I proposed it was the best stadium food. And we've had a different cadre of food trucks this year, and I think I like that. I think it makes it kind of fun. Of course, I think Envy Food is good. Of course, when I first saw it, I thought it was Nevada food. I didn't know if we're getting kind of Food Envy, and I thought it was like some kind of Vegas style buffet, but it wasn't. But I had one of the burritos over at Street Quesadilla, and you'd think I'd get a quesadilla at Street Quesadilla, but we had decided that a burrito would be a little easier and less messy, and that was fantastic. So
Food Envy, I remember from last season having a delicious barbecue taco that was so good, I had to offer it to Tucson's goalkeeper. He didn't take me up on it, much to his regret. Unfortunately, I have not had a chance to try a lot of the stuff in the stadium because I've normally had about 17 hot dogs and 3 of Adam's brats at the tailgates. Mm. So there's
good
that.
Good times.
All right, and that brings us to the last and most common awards question, and that is, who is your guys' MVP?
We actually have some answers also. I'll bring those up while you guys go. I had put some stuff on Twitter, and that's the only one where people actually gave us answers. So
that's good stuff.
On brand.
So my MVP is a man that comes off the bench on a regular basis, and that is Marky Hernandez, because he has been one of the catalysts for the cardiac Red Wolves. And I think you see what he does and changes the game. I don't think your most valuable player has to be the one that plays all the time. It's the one that has the greatest impact. And I think his impact has been significant.
I agree. And when you look at the games this season where Marky has not been involved, you notice a difference. And so that to me seems like a very good way to define the MVP. When he is on the field, you see the difference. Sometimes I think we're a little over-reliant on getting Marky the ball out on the wing and expecting him to do something. But he seems to always come up with it. So
there's nothing more fun than listening to the fans as they like anticipate the move. And then as soon as he makes somebody break their ankles or just look stupid, and the that comes from the fans in that corner as he's just impressing us as he always does. It's super fun as a fan.
I kind of went a little different direction. I almost went for Jose Carrera Garcia again. I think his impact has been profound, but I went for Ricky Ruiz. And my reasoning is that the way he plays is he makes everyone else better. And so many things start with Ricky. So some of the great moves that Marky does actually started with a pass from Ricky. Some of the great goals happen as an assist or a pass from Ricky. And so he's not always there to reap the reward at the end, but usually when you've seen something impressive, you'll see Ricky at the start of it, and he just brings a creative spark in both halves. And so I think I think if he's not on the pitch, I think that really hurts. But I absolutely see your point about Marky. I mean, he is, his impact is fantastic.
I wish we kept a stat like the hockey does, where you get the hockey assist, where you're the person before the final pass, because I think he'd have a lot of those. I think you're right.
Yeah.
All right, impromptu one, guys. What's been your favorite goal celebration so far this year?
Oh, mine was Juan Galindrez walking over to his mom and giving her a huge hug.
That's a good
one. That was a really good one. Oh, man, I'm trying to think which ones. Oh, actually, most of them I'm kissing Beth, so that's what I remember the most.
So and
Beth,
Beth is
my wife.
Jeff kissing his wife. That's his favorite.
That's his favorite. That's there's been some where, especially one of the cardiac ones at the last minute. I'm going to pick the winner of North Carolina. That pops into mind. Actually, you know what? The Tucson win, maybe. It's just been when we erupt, and we have more and more this season than any other season.
Like that very literal last second goal.
Yes.
Against North Texas.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, and so I've noticed that, and it's not just in the supporter section. That's grown throughout the whole field now, and there's waves of celebration happening.
So I know everyone expects us to do the Rafa Mensigan getting a haircut, but that's actually not my favorite. My favorite is the goal in the final minutes at Omaha when they all went and essentially mocked the Greg Hurst by himself celebration with the arms crossed right in front of the Parliament. Those are my celebrations. Those are my favorite sorts.
There you go.
It's very similar to last year, what happened in front of the Richmond fans.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's move on, and we're going to have to do this really quick because we're running out of show. But we do have a game coming up, not on Saturday, but on Tuesday.
Tuesday.
At North Carolina. It's going to start at 7. So it's a rematch. You know, we had the game. We jumped out to – or actually, no, we fell behind 1-0. We came storming back to score a couple goals, 3 goals, and I think gave up a meaningless one at the end.
Yeah.
So, guys, it was a 3-2 victory. What North Carolina has won the last couple of games that they've played, even though they're the team at the bottom of the table. So what are you expecting to see from North Carolina?
Not a lot.
You know what? First of all, I remember about the match here was their young keeper. And he wasn't even supposed to start. And he just had a lot of – I thought they had a lot of moxie while they were on the pitch. And so they had surprised me. I'm pretty confident we're going to get the win out of this. But I think they're going to frustrate us. I think we're going to get a lot of shots again, probably more than 20 again. But they are going to add some frustration, but not to the point where I think we're going to lose the game.
I will add, in the 37th minute, they are behind New England 1-0 right now. I'm watching this on my television. Okay. Cross just went out for a goal kick.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just not expecting a lot. Yes, they've won a couple games, which is great. I'm proud of you. Good job. But you're still averaging less than a point a game. You're still at the very bottom, and you still need a lot of help to move into the top six. If we are truly going to be considering ourselves one of the top two teams in the league, this has to be a win, and it has to be a commanding win. And I expect with 10 days off to prepare for this, we will go in there and take care of business. And I am fully confident.
I am very excited that this game is coming after this horrible call by the referee. My source, my son, who likes to hang out on the hill behind the other goal, he didn't hear exact words, but he overheard choice words being said by Coach Obleda in the locker room. He was not happy with how that game ended, and said so. And I think a lot of the players were the same, you know, was wanting to let Jono know, you know, hashtag justice for Jono, that he had been robbed after the game, and saw him talking with a couple of his friends. And you could just hear and see the frustration on his face. He's Jono, so it was, you know, no cussing, but you could tell, like, if he was the kind of guy that did, he really wanted to.
He'd go full Ramos.
Right, he'd go full Ramos. And yeah, and so you could just see a lot of them were really frustrated. And so, yeah, this being the first game out after that, I hope that they really do take that anger onto the field.
Take it out on the poor defenseless.
All right, so let's get to the painful predictions.
We missed a step here. Chime lineup.
As far as lineup, I mean, you know, he's talking about Luna being close to back. I think you may see Luna, if he's good to go, in the center defensive role next to Daniel Navarro to be able to kind of bump Ramos forward. But really, I don't see many changes. I would love to see Rafa get in the starting lineup to be kind of a 1-2 punch with him in the first half and Markey being able to come on and help out in the second. But I just don't know if Rafa is really ready for a full 90 minutes. So we'll just have to see how that goes. But I don't really foresee many changes. This picture here, this feels like pretty much what our best 11 is.
Okay.
No reason for any of them to get dropped, in my opinion.
I'll pick one. And that's going to be Daddy-O, Blake Frischneck. It was just the first half. He just I think we would have done better if Galindres had started and then Blake came on later on. That's just kind of how the momentum was. So that's the change I would pick. I think Jackson Dietrich did fantastic on that start, and I hope to see more of him. But really, Blake's the only one I would switch for Galindres. And if Luna's available, I'd see him coming in but not starting.
So my only hesitation with removing Blake and putting Galindres in is I like Galindres because he's not the fastest guy. Let's just be honest. Mm-hmm. And right. I like him being able to go against some slightly tired legs. I think he's shown ability to take advantage of that. But it doesn't mean that we have to start Blake. I would like to see Rafa start in Blake's spot.
Hmm.
I think Dietrich has done a very good job and has earned his time. But if you're going to keep Blake in, that I'm tempted to put Rafa in place of Dietrich because Dietrich has also been really good as a sub where he can kind of coach can look at how the game is going and say, okay, where do I need to put him? Do I need to bring him in place of España? Do I need to bring him in place of Rafa and then bring Markey in place of some of España? So I have both of them come in. Like I like the idea of being able to use him in that manner. So that's my only hesitation with Galindres going and then getting the start.
Well, this is a very different team from last time. So I imagine that coach is probably going to approach North Carolina much different than he will with Greenville, as he should.
So I say Red Wolves 3-0.
I'm going to go 2-0, but with them only getting like one or two even shots. Like I think it's going to be that kind of a dominant 2-0 win.
I'm going to go for a 3-1. I think they're going to get one dumb lucky shot and it may be a penalty or some dumb call. There's something dumb going to happen. And I think we're going to have a ridiculous amount of shots again. And a couple of them are going to go in. That's why I'm going to go with 3-1. Or all sorry, 1-3.
almost went wrong. All right. Yeah. So, Jeff, you had an update from Gretchen regarding the Lady Red Wolves. We know they won the conference championship. We thought that they were going to be playing national. So what do you have from them?
Okay, yeah. So their season is over as it is throughout the whole league. And the reasoning for that is they can't go too much further because they are made up primarily of college students. And so they have to wrap up their season. These girls have to get on and getting a break and then getting to the universities that are already starting the practice and to get ready for the next season. So that was always the plan. I'm hoping to get more communication from the W next year. So that was the one criticism was with the league we're in is I think the Lady Red Wolves were much better on communicating than the rest of the league was. So that was a little bit there. But, hey, we saw playoff games and a playoff winners at CHI Memorial. So congratulations. So they've won the highest that they could win. So there was no national champion or league champion. It was always going to be the conference champion.
So there you go. They got to get the facade of the suites done so we can start hanging banners and put the ladies up there.
100%.
Park City Red Wolves lost a barn burner 3-3 match in penalties to the Portland Timbers U23 in that semifinal of the League 2. And then shortly after, there was an announcement that they are going to be joining the USPSL in the fall, looking for players to join that one. So Park City going to have some games in the fall. And, yeah, that's exciting. In the ladies' version, as they're getting ready for college, that's going to be in the fall. So keep an eye out for UTC as well as UTK, which is where Hannah Tillett plays. Yeah. And East Tennessee, that's our, you know, our girl, Sino. Mm-hmm. Is going to be playing up there at East Tennessee in Johnson City. So we'll be keeping our eye out. She's going to be coming down to Chattanooga. They're in the same conference. So we'll definitely try to cover that game when they come to town.
Awesome.
Sounds good.
All right. Looking at world soccer, USA. USA. USA.
America.
Dosacero.
C-team.
That's the number of cups we have this year. Dosacero over Mexico. Who of this club, who of the team that played this tournament impressed you guys the most? Adam's going to say no one because he's no fun.
I'll let you go first then. Because I wasn't actually going to say no one. Thank you very much.
All right.
So you go ahead. That way I can stay. Oh, I was going to say what you were going to say.
All right, Alex's hot take. Matt Turner is better than Zach Steffens. Go ahead and at me, bro.
Yeah, it's because you're wrong that you're going to be added. But he's earned the backup. Like I mean, so much so that players are leaving the U.S. team to go to Mexico. So, yeah, he earned that. But no, he's not better than Zach Steffens. Nice try, though. Zardes wasn't your most impressive player, Alex. I'm shocked.
I have no comment. Jeff, you got anything to add?
No, I'll be honest, and that without Raul Jimenez not playing or Owen Odesawi playing, I kind of it dropped in priority for me. Sorry, there was enough other stuff going on, man. Sorry. I know.
You didn't care about the C team. That's disappointing.
I know. I'm a horrible human being.
If none of these guys are going to get consistent playing time in World Cup qualifying, but right. A couple of them might make the end of the bench.
I hope that's the case because he seems to love the idea of experimental rosters. As a makeup for our Atlanta United friends, Miles Robinson, of course, scoring the game winner. Atlanta United player had a good tournament. Good job, Atlanta United. So, ladies, semifinal match against Canada. Did you guys see this play?
I think I saw it just briefly, but I didn't watch the match.
I know it was a penalty that they scored on.
An American defender running straight down the field to a ball that's rolling out of bounds. And the Canadian player runs up and just throws herself into the American. And because in her peripheral vision, she sees this flash of red just flying at her like a hurricane, sticks her arm up to protect herself. And because the Canadian player has left her feet, they call a penalty as if she had her hand in the Canadian player's face. On penalty review, you can slow it down and see that this Canadian player has no control over her body and is just throwing herself at the American. And because they're on the edge of the box, it gets called a penalty. They got hosed.
Well, I mean, they're Canadian, so the assumption is you know, that they're innocent.
So, and you're saying Alex's airing of grievances.
Yeah. And if you're going to talk about Canadians and you're going to say hosed, you're supposed to say hosed.
Hosed. A boot. How's that hosed here?
What's that called? A boot. All right.
Someone rolled that rim up to win. Okay. I think the sarcasm alert should just stay on the whole time. It's just with us. So
no Red Wolves game this Saturday.
Nothing.
But if you're wanting to wake up early, have a little coffee, then you've got Biggleswade football on the Twitch. So Biggleswade United on Tuesday opened their first game in the United Counties League. Whew. You remember they are the second to lowest level of English soccer. So there's 10 levels. Biggleswade United is level 9. They used to play in what was known as the South Midland League, which is one that's, even though it's called South Midland, it's essentially north of London. Mm-hmm. They got transferred to United Counties, which is basically a little further of London, not quite to Wolverhampton. And so they played their game. They lost 7-1. And one of the things to keep in mind, a tough night at Second Meadow, is that this is essentially a completely new team. A lot of the guys that played for Biggleswade United, they lived kind of in the vicinity of that South Midland League. And the travel, you know, they work full-time jobs. They train once a week. They play a couple games a week. So they had to pretty much completely turn over their roster, which was the shame of them getting transferred. They were a team that was fighting for promotion. Yeah. And they've got pretty much, you know, the names that you would remember if you paid attention to me talking during the Biggleswade report. My man crush, Dave Parkinson, Charlie Clayton, a lot of those kind of guys are no longer with the club. And so hopefully they'll have a chance to do some training tonight, or they did some training tonight. It's late now. They've probably all gone to bed. But they'll have a chance against Saffron Waldentown of the Essex Senior League, nickname the Bloods. That's quite a nickname.
That's from
that's where red and black striped kit.
Adam,
I saw.
That's where you're from, right? Is where the Bloods are?
Saffron Waldentown.
Crips and Bloods, yeah. They're all there. So,
FA Cup extra preliminary round, very first round of the FA Cup, which is how we stumbled across our friends in Biggleswade, was deciding we're going to follow the FA Cup from beginning all the way to the end. So they will be taking on that game, and you can watch that. Biggleswade FC and Biggleswade Town still playing friendlies, but their first game will be next Saturday, August the 14th. Same time that all of our wonderful Premier League teams begin.
There you go.
That's your Biggleswade report.
Hey, wasn't there a preseason match between Arsenal and Chelsea recently?
Yeah. Hey, how'd that go, Adam? Did you did you see the score? I figured, coward. Come back so we can say bye.
Bye. Bye. Okay.